Okay, today's shiur is L'zecher Nishmas Yitzchak ben Shlomo Yehuda and yahrzeit today of Sima Rachel Bas Harav Tzvi Aryeh. Okay, we're on the bottom of Yud Daled Amud Beis. I just wanted to say one thought on the last line that we did yesterday, and then we will continue. Yesterday, we were discussing the Yud Ches Dvarim, the 18 takanas that were made in the attic of Rechanani Mechizki Ben Gurion, and just one ha'ara on yesterday. One of the godless of Daf Yomis, you know, we should chazer more, we should do a lot more, we should learn be'iyun. But one of the important aspects of Daf Yomi is the idios that one gets through Shas. And the basic idea is that if you never do different Gemaras, then you don't get it. So just an example of that is like yesterday, all the basics of Tum and Tara is something that if you want to remember anything, you know, we should remember at least the basics of every sugya that we do. So all those laws that we had at the beginning of yesterday, which we will continue to have, not so much today, but tomorrow and after, like the four types, and what about Truma, what about Hekdesh, those Yedios are something that we should really make sure that we remember. Okay, so in the middle of the Gemara, one of the takanos that were made was on Yadayim. That one has to wash your dime. So the Gemara had a whole discussion. When was that takana made? We thought it was one from the 18 dvarim from Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. But we said, what do you mean? Shammai and Hillel did it. So then we said, no, Shammai and Hillel, they tried and they couldn't do it. It wasn't accepted. And then Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel did it and accepted it. But then the Gemara says, Shlomo HaMelech did it. You see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so happy when he made Erevin and Adilas Yadayim. And the Baskol went out and said, B'ni, Im Chacham Lebcha Yisbach Libika Mani. So Gemara answers, no, Shlomo did it for Kachim. And then Shammai and Hillel tried to do it for Truma, and it didn't work. And then Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel did it for Truma. Okay, so just one thought on the bottom. We asked the question yesterday, and the Chassam Sofer really asked this question. He has two questions on this Gemara. Number one, if you look at the other Gemaras throughout where this Takana is quoted, that Shlomo HaMelech made Takanos, there are really three laws that Shlomo HaMelech made. He made the din of Eir Chatzeros, meaning if you want to carry, we're discussing the bottom line of Yudal and Beis. He made one Erev Chatzeres, the idea that if you want to carry within various Rishuyos, you have to put an Erev, number one. Number two, Netilas Yadayim, which is quoted here. But there was a third Takana called Shnios La'arayos, meaning besides the Ervos de Oraisa, which the Torah mentions, he added on a certain number of Shnios. Arayos mi derabanan. He also did that. And the question that the Sab Sofer asked is, why is that left out here? It says two out of three. Why didn't you say three? How much more ink would have been used to write the third one? A. Question two is, why was the Baskol? By every Takana, there's a Baskol. You have a Baskol of Amr. Oh, wonderful. What a great Takana. There were Takanas before this. Even Adam Arishon made a Gzera. Right? We know the Avos Rabbi Nosson discusses that Hashem told him not to eat from the tree. And he even said not to touch the tree. Right? So that he had the right idea, Chazal say. But he just messed up because he told Chava that Hashem said that. If he would have told Chava, Hashem told me not to eat from the tree, and I'm being gozer not to touch the tree, that would have been fine. But he violated Baal Tosef, because he said that it's Hashem told me not to eat. And the Rambam writes in Hilchas Mamrim, that if somebody says, chicken and milk is asur midoraisa, so that is, and we don't pass it that way, so that would be this Baal Tosef. You're allowed to say chicken and meat and milk are asa daraisa, and chicken and milk are asa midarabanan. That's fine, mishum gzeira. But you can't take a darabanan to make it into a daraisa. But anyway, so why is this darabanan so special? Yes, a basko goes out. There were many people that were goes there beforehand, and then goes there afterwards. So the Chassam Sofer says one answer to answer both questions. He says, really, most of the time, isurei darabanan make things difficult, which is true. They make things difficult. They say we can't do something. So that's why a baskol is not going to go out, because it's somewhat difficult for people. In his Lashon, he says, let me say it outside and then I'll read it to you. That's most gzeiros. But these are two takanos where the Rabbanon knew there was a problem. The Adayim issue, the Erev Chatzeres issue, there was a problem. So Chazal were going to be gozer. But you know what? They weren't stop gozer. You can't do this. They said, you can't do this unless you do this. Here's the solution. Yadayim, you can't touch the Truma, but you know what? You can wash your hands and do the Tzilas Yadayim, and then you can do whatever you want. Erev Chatzeres, you can't carry, but you can make an Erev Chatzeres. They gave a solution. They didn't just make a Takana. Says the Chassam Sofer, that was the beauty of these Takanas. That it wasn't stopped to make a Gzeira and preventing people from doing something. And therefore, that's why the Shnios La'arayas Gzeira is left out. Because Shnios, that was the third Gzeira of Shlomo HaMelech, that was stopped Usser. That was a stopped Isser. It wasn't like a problem with a solution. That's why only two out of three of Shlomo Melech were mentioned, and that's why these two were singled out to have the baskel. That's one thought. Not purely. I mean, there are takanos that where there is no problem. That's like the Neiris Chanukah. That's really a pure takana. There's no chashash. Here there was a chashash of a problem, and they gave a solution. That's what makes it unique. Like most other takanos, it's just to remember something, to say something. Okay. There, and just one other thought, that this is on the last line that we did. So he said there are different stages in history. So number one, we had Netilas Yadayim for Kachim. That was Shlomo HaMelech. Then we had it for Truma, Shammai and Hillel tried. And then the Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai got it in for Truma. So what about, how does that turn into what we do today? We don't have Truma today, and we all wash our hands before we eat. So what does that have to do with anything? That was a fourth stage. That was a later stage in history. That is, just read it to you, in the beginning of Siman Kufr and Ches, in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, "Kishyavo lech pas, b'mavarchan olav hamotzi, yitol yadav, afilu eni yodei lahem shum tuma, yivarech al atilos yadayim." Netilas Yadayim we do Bizman Hazeh. Why do we do Netilas Yadayim Bizman Hazeh? Is it connected at all? The answer is yes. The Mishnah Berurah there quotes two reasons. The first one has to do with us. Tam takana zetilazu. Ever think about this? Why do we wash our hands before we eat bread? Anybody ever think about that? Why do we wash our hands before we eat bread? Right? We don't need truma anymore. So what's the reasons? The Mishnah Berurah quotes two reasons. Number one, mipnei srach truma. It is connected to this takana in the Gemara. It's connected to the truma. V'hainu, why? Dekiva diyadayim maskani yosei v'nogim b'chol davar. Since our hands touch everything. Remember, we saw the 2 days in Rashi yesterday. First day in Rashi is that our hands are all over the place. We're touching everything. Ubizman shahayanoik tuma v'tara v'akonam akli truma. And in the days of the Mikdash, when the Kohanim used to eat truma, hayu tzricha lito yideh midevei sofrim kodim achilas truma, the Kohanim then had to wash their hands before they ate truma, so they wouldn't be v'tami the truma. Ukadeshi yiragil and Kohanim bazeh, and because, to make the Kohanim ragil in this, gazru gamkein al kol ish Yisrael, ha'och al pas, to his bread, which is the staple of the diet, sha'asu lech al ashe yitol yadav. V'gamachshav she'ein Kohanim ochle truma, v'balat takanazu, kishibana beis ha'mikdash v'herav yameinu, will be ready. Number one is, because bizman ha'mikdash, we have this takana, in order to the Kohanim, and we should be in proper mode in order to touch the Shruma. So the Takana wasn't batal, even though we don't have Shruma. Every time we wash our hands, we should think to ourselves, Mehiri Banabes HaMikdash, we should be eating Shruma tomorrow, and then this Takana would have more teeth. Then he quotes the second reason, Mishum Nekiyas V'Kedusha. Before you get to sit down to eat, the Pasuk says, the Mishnah, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Chulin, V'Skadishtem Yisem Kedoshim, V'Skadishtem Eilam Mayim Rishonim. It has to do with being Kadosh. Okay, so that's an outgrowth of this Gemara, at least part of it, is why we wash our hands today. Fine. Goof up. Second line. Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Yudches Gazru, Ubi Yudches Nechluku. Right, we said yesterday that the 18 items that were discussed in the attic, they had a machlokes, about 18 of them. 18 out of 18. Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel had a machlokes. And then Beis Shammai was the majority. They won the vote. And therefore, they made the takana or the gzeira in their favor. The Gemara says, "V'hatanya hushvu." What do you mean? But we have another brisa that says that Beis Hillel agreed with Beis Shammai. So what do you mean? There were 18 arguments. The Gemara says, "You're right." Bo bayom nechluku l'makar hushvu. On that day they argued. The next day, Beis Hillel agreed to Beis Shammai. So really, all these 18, we shouldn't think that Beis Hillel was still up in arms a week later. The next day, Beis Hillel was maskim to Beis Shammai. Whether they were Mekubal, unclear, doesn't say exactly why, but I don't think they were Amita Shel Torah. You know, I don't think they would have agreed, but just to keep the Achdus. They could have said, they could have given in. Hushvu sounds like they agreed, not just that they gave in to their opinion. Gufa, Amar Avuna. So as we said yesterday, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel have a lot of arguments. Shammai and Hillel, they only had three. What were those three? So here it is. Shabbos Tesvav. What are the three arguments between Shammai and Hillel? Number one, Shammai Omer Mikav Chala, the Hillel Omer Mikavayim. Shammai, the question is, we know there's a mitzvah to be Mafresh Chala. Mafresh Chala from dough. The mitzvah even applies with Manazep, Midrabanan. If somebody makes Chala, so if they make with a certain amount of dough, there is a chiv d'araisa in the olden days to think of challah. Maybe today the chiv is d'rabanan, but that's the halacha. The question is, how big does your dough, does your flour, how many push flour do you have to use in order to be mechayiv yourself in challah? Let's say I have a little bit of dough and I'm making one hamantash. you know, there's no chiyuv of challah. So the question is, how much is the chiyuv? What do I do with the challah? So bizman based on migdash, I give the challah to the kohen. The challah is a form of truma. Challah, truma, bikurim, all of these are called rachis in the Torah, and therefore I give it to the kohen. Bizman hazeh, for various reasons, we don't know who is a kohen for sure, and the kohen emer tamei, but we don't give the challah to the kohen in bizman hazeh. So what we do is, if a woman man or a woman is making challah, most of the time it's the woman, but if they're making challah, so then they take a little bit and they burn it until it is inedible. That is what the minhag is to do with the challah. So how much dough do you have to use? How much flour do you have to use in order to have a chiyuv of challah? That's machlokas number one. Shammai says, mikav challah, when you use a kav amount of challah. The Hill Omer, mikavayim. Shmuel says, Ahilah says, two kavayim of flour. The Chachamim omrim, lo kedivrei zeh, v'lo kedivrei zeh. The Chachamim have a third opinion, not like Shammai or Hillel. El kavu mechza, 1.5, chayev b'challah. Mishehigdilu hamidos, once at a certain point in history, they made the measurements larger. I was trying to think of a parallel, bizman hazeh. I don't think, like nowadays, we could evaluate money, like a shekel or a dollar or something, but like, we don't say, okay, we don't wake up one day and say, okay, an ounce is going to be bigger. But that's what they did. And at a certain point in history, for various reasons, they made the midos bigger. Not that you would require more minat Torah, but just it's the same amount, but just it had a different label because an ounce was bigger at a certain point, and later they changed it. Right? Okay, we have something called like a baker's dozen. That's an example. So b'shigdilo amidos, once they made the measurements bigger, so Amru they said it's not a kavu mechza, but it's chameshas revaim kemach chayiv in b'chala. 5 1/4 of kemach. That means 1 1/4 is chayiv and chala. Rabbi Yossi Amar, heyu paturin, hey va'od chayavin. 5 revaim are pater, 5 and a little bit are chayavin. So all of these are different shiurim. How much? Rashi here works out. There are different types of kavin. There's a Yerushalmi kav. There's a midbar kav. Midbar is one, but anyway, we're in the midbar. Yerushalmi is later on. Works out the math exactly how you figure it out. And later on there was a tzipori measurements. Fine. Lemaisus, this is the first machlokas. How much flour? So, interesting, we don't pass them like Shammai or Hillel. Right? And the second one also, it's going to be interesting. I didn't see anybody make the Ha'ara, but I'm just wondering, you know, why Dafka, the machlokasim that Shammai and Hillel argue, these three machlokasim, we don't pass them like either of them in any of the machlokasim. I don't know why. Both Shammai and Hillel, we don't pass them like. Either way, but this is the first machlokas. So, Lemaisa, how do we translate these shirim into our measurements? So there's a psak of Rav Henkin that many hold up. Rav Henkin says that less than three pounds of flour, you don't have to be mafresh at all. From 3 to 5 pounds, woman's making challah, you know how much is she using? How many challahs? 3 to 5 pounds to be mafresh, but without a bracha. 5 pounds, woman's using a whole thing of flour, 5 pounds, then she's mafresh with a bracha. That's the minhag of most. Again, there are different shitas. I think Chabad has the Chabad cookbook. They quote a different shita. But either way, that's Rav Henkin. It's quoted in Eidus in Yisrael, and that's what I think many hold of that shita. Less than 3 to 5, and 5. Those are the three different levels. So again, so it's a wonderful idea. If a woman can be mafresh with a bracha, it's wonderful. It's great chinuch. You do it with the kids. You bring them over. But it's just that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah at least means Rabbanan bizman hazeh. It's a mitzvah to be mafresh with a bracha. So if she can do. Make a bunch of challahs and put them in the freezer or, you know, whatever it is. You have to, hafarshas challah, there are a lot of different dinim. You have to, what's called one batch. But if she could do that, that would be a great opportunity. So that's all, machlokas number one between Shammai and Hillel. Number two, v'idach, what's the second machlokas? Hillel Omer, mole hin mayim she'uvim post lemes ha-mikvah. Hillel says that we know that a mikvah has to be 40 sa'ah. 40 sa'ah is the minimum amount of a mikvah of rainwater. Mayim she'uvim literally means drawn water. L'shov is drawn. But for mikvah purposes, mayim she'uvim means anything other than rainwater in its natural state. If water is caught in a receptacle, it becomes mayim she'uvim. Complicated halachas of hilchas mikvos. But Hillel says, how much water, let's say you have a certain amount of good water, let's call it rainwater, before it gets the amount that it needs to become a mikvah. It's less than 40 sa'ah. How much bad water passes? So it says Shammai, it says Hillel, a mole hin mayim she'uvim. a full hin of water she'uvim passes the mikvah. Rashi here explains this is only if you didn't have the correct shear yet. If you had the whole shear, then you could put as much water as you want in. Passel water doesn't passel the mikvah. There's a lot of lumpness there, but just think, if once you have 40 sa'ah, you could pour in as much water as you want, it's not going to passel the mikvah. That's what Rashi says. But before you have the correct shear, you have less than 40 sa'ah, so then Shammai says, Hillel says that a full hin of Maim Sheuvim passes the mikvah. Shechayev Adam Omer B'Lashon Rabbo. Why did Hillel say it this way? Because you have to say it in the Lashon that your Rebbe said it. What did he say in the Lashon that his Rebbe said? We'll get to that in a minute. First, let's finish the Machlokas. Shammai Omer Tisha Kavim. Not a full hin, but 9 Kavim of water is what passes the mikvah. The Chachamim Omerim, Lo Kedivrei Zeh, V'lo Kedivrei Zeh, Ella Ad Shebo Beis Gardia Mishar Hashash B'Yerushalayim. The Chachamim say, we didn't know what the shear was until these two weavers from Shar HaAshva. Right, we know Shar HaAshva, right? Until the weavers in Shar HaAshva in Yerushalayim, until they came, the Heidu B'Shem Shmai V'Avtalion, and they quoted Shmai and Avtalion, they said, Sheshlosha Lugan Mayim Sheuvim Poslam Asa Mikvah. And they said, 3 Lugan of Mayim Sheuvim is what passes a mikvah before it has the correct shear, the Kimu Chacham Mestabrayim. And the Chacham were Mekayim their words. So again, that's the second machlokas between Shammai and Hillel, and again, we don't paskin like either of them. Why is it important that we know that these 3 weavers from Shar HaAshva were the ones that were testifying and gave us this Eidus? So it's an important Rashi, gives us all a chizuk. Look at Rashi, Shnei Gardiyim, Dibrasko Shnei Gardiyim. It's about little more than halfway down. Shnei Gardiyim Yishar HaAshvos. B'Vsechus Idiyus B'Farish Lama Husker Shemu Nasam, Shemu Koman. Who cares? Just tell us that Shmai Naftalion said it. You have to tell us that 2 weavers who came from Shar HaAshva and Yerushalayim came to tell the Chachamim. No, there's a big message, says Rashi. Shlo yimna adam atzmo mibeis hamedrash. A person should never think of himself too small to go to the Beis Medrash. She'in l'cha umnis p'chusa migardi. There is no umnis, there is no profession that is more mivuze, that is lower than a gardi, than a weaver. She'in ma'amidin mimenu l'koim l'gadav l'melech. They're meaning b'kiddushin. The Gemara at the end of Kiddushin tells us that you don't make nobody great comes from a gardi, from a weaver. Ve'ein shar b'Yerushalayim pachas b'shar ha'ashbos, and there is no more mevuzeh hangout in Yerushalayim than shar ha'ashbos. So these lowly people from such a lowly place came and they told the Chachamim a certain edus that they heard in the Shir in the Beis Medrash. Ve'chriu be'edusim kol Chachmi Yisrael, and they helped establish the law that applied to all of Klal Yisrael. A person should never... I'm a gardi. I'm from Shara Ashpos, Chas V'Shalom. Every single Jew has potential to affect Klal Yisrael. Every single person should go. I could talk to the Rav. I could go. I could affect Klal Yisrael. That's why it says that the gardi, the Sheikh Gardi, Mishalayim, Mishara Ashpos. Everybody could have an effect. Everybody could go... nobody should prevent themselves from going to the Beis Medrash. Fine. That's why he tells them that. What about the other line quoted in this Mishnah? Again, these 2 are Mishnayis and Idios, because these are also examples where... Hillel is more machmir than Shammai. So Hillel had said Mole hin mayim she'uvin passes the mikvah. Chayav adam lomer b'lashon rabba. What does that have to do with anything? What did he say b'lashon rabba? So Rashi here explains he has 2 deos. But the first deah is that hin is usually not a measurement that is used in the Chazal. That's in the Torah, right? Chatziah hin yoyin, right? All the know from all the leanings. But he should have used lug or other things that are used more in Chazal. Hin, that lashon is a Torah language. So why did he say hin? Because Shmai Naftalion, Hillel's Rebbeim said hin. So he said hin. That's Rashi. That's Rashi's first pshat. Chayav adam lomer b'lashon Rabbo. Fine. He gets a second shot. Maybe Rabbo is Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why he says hin. But the pashtus is that Hillel said the word hin because he had to say it in the lashon of his Rebbe. Well, the weavers, correct. The weavers had a different version. Different version. I didn't see anybody notice that. I thought about that, but they had a different version. A second shot. These are 2 very interesting shots. The second shot to what is that? What did Hillel do? He said, Mole hin, mayim shuv apostles and mikvah. So the Rambam in the Pirshat Mishnayos in Idios, where this mission is quoted, the Rambam says that Shmai and Avtalion were from Gerim. So what does it mean? It wasn't that he said the word hin, but they couldn't pronounce hin properly. They only could say in. You couldn't say hin. I guess I said, why is it so hard to say have a hay? I guess we don't say hays properly. So the O, however, it was hard for them, just like some of them can't say or whatever it is, whatever halachos or tse. They couldn't say the hay. So that's why they said, the Rambam says, they said in. So Hillel also because that's how his Rebbeim talked, so he also said in. That's the Pashas of the Rambam. That even though it was some type of mistaken pronunciation, but because his Rebbeim were Gerim, he said in instead of in, because that's what his Rebbeim said. Says the Vilna Gaon of the Mishnah, what? Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. And the Rambam quotes this pshat, b'shem Ovin, b'shem Rabbo, b'shem Rabbo. B'shem his father's Rebbe's Rebbe. I have this Mesorah from my father's Rebbe's Rebbe. So l'chora, that's the riff. I looked in Kapach, he doesn't quote on the bottom, because his father was Maimon. Maimon's Rebbe, they say, with the Rimigash. The Rimigash's Rebbe was the riff. So maybe he's quoting the riff. Amazing. He said, I heard this from my father, b'shem his Rebbe, b'shem his Rebbe. Very unusual Rambam. But that's what it says in the Pirush of Mishnayos. Says the Vilna Gaon, third shot. We had Rashi, we had the Rambam. Says the Vilna Gaon, what? If your Rebbe mispronounces something, you're supposed to mispronounce it? What are you talking about? He says in, so he can't pronounce it. So what does that mean? So Sel the Gra, no. He didn't mispronounce it. The issue isn't the hin. The issue is the other word, hin mole. What is hin mole? Just say hin. Full hin. So you say a hin, you know what means a hin. No, says the Gra, what's the pshat? I don't know if he says this as pshat of the Rambam or his own pshat. He says, no, the issue was that, yes, he wanted to say hin, because that's what his Rebbe said. But he wanted to make sure that people didn't misunderstand it as in could really look like ain. Like, ain hin mayim sh'uk apostles the mikvah. So that's why he added in the extra word of mole. In mole. So ain mole, it's got to be in, it's got to be hin. But he said hin. But the reason he said mole was to prevent people from thinking that if he would have heard in, so then people wouldn't have thought it was ain. So the Gra says that's the pshat. So we have three pshat. Then what does it mean? Chayav adam lomar v'lashon rabo. Rashi here, the Rambam, and the Pirush of Mishnayos, b'shem his father's Rebbe's Rebbe, and the Gra. The Maariv Chayis here quotes the Gra also. Quotes if you want to look it up. Okay. Anyway, that's number two machlokas between Shammai and Hillel. Number three, the Idach, third one. Shammai Omer, Kol Hanoshim Dayan Shaitan. First Mishnah Nida. The Hillel Omer Bekida Lebekida Afilu Yomim Harbe. Halach is, let's say a woman, Bizman HaMikdash, does a Bedika, and she sees blood. She has a Re'i at a certain moment. And she knows, she says, oh, when did I become a Nida? I don't know. When did this start? I don't remember. So the question is, how far back do you push the Zman Tuma in terms of things that she has touched? Because we know a nida is tmei amida oraisa. The question is, she touched something an hour ago, and now she's going to serve that to the Kohanim family that's coming over for lunch. Oy vey, maybe I have to go out and get some new food, right? Because I was betamei all the food. So the question is, how far back do you have to assume that she was tmei from? Right? So there are certain remnants of this halacha bizman hazeh, not too much, because we don't have tementara bizman hazeh. But it has to do with bedikos. The Shammai says, Kol anashim dayan shaitan. Shammai says, you found it now, you tmeya from now. Don't go backwards. That's Shammai. Dayan shaitan, for the word die, enough. Dayan shaitan, this moment, right now, that's as much you tmeya from, don't go backwards at all. Hillel Omer, no, mi pekita lo pekita, you go back from the last bedika. Let's say on Thursday the woman does a bedika and finds herself tmeya, and the previous bedika she had done was Tuesday, then everything from right after Tuesday's bedika, that's tmeya. Anything before that is tahora, because she knew Tuesday she was tahora. Let's say she did a clean bedika. So then, the past 2 days, so that's going to be tamea, though, says Hillel. The chachamim omrim, and again, the third one, loka devrei zev, there's got to be something here. By dafka, these three, there's always a third opinion, and we don't pass them that way. Okay? Have to look it up. So the chachamim say no. Ella, say the chachamim a third pshat. The Chachamim say there is one of two shiurim, and you always pick the shorter one. Either 24 hours or the last bedika. Go backwards. If you did a bedika before the previous 24 hours, then you stop at 24 hours. That's me'eis leis. Me'eis leis, you go back 24 hours, that's it. You're not metami anything before 24 hours. And if you did a bedika 6 hours ago, then you go back to the bedika. But the Chachamim say, a third opinion, you always pick the cooler choice between 24 hours and Mibkiz Lubakita. And again, Halacha L'maisa Bizman HaMikdash, that's what we paskin. So those are the three machlokas in between Shammai and Hillel. Fine. V'su Lekka says the Gemara, there's no other machlokas in between Shammai and Hillel. We at least know one more. V'ha'ika Hillel Omer L'smach V'Shammai Omer Shlo L'smach. Right, there's a halacha that usually when you bring a carbon, you have to do smicha, a carbon yachid. And there are two exceptions. The Mishnah in Menachah says there are two carbon sibors that require smicha. But in general, all carbon yachids require smicha, which means I put my hands on the animal with all my strength, v'chal kocho, and by carbonos that have to do with averos, I'm mizvadeh, I say vidui on the animal. By a shlamim, the Rambam says, interesting Rambam, the Rambam says you say divrei shevach. We discussed that in Pesach Shuvah 2 years ago, if you remember, where you put your hands on the animal, by a shlamim, you say divrei shevach. In any case, you produce smicha on the animal. The question is, when you bring a carpet on yontif, do you do smicha? Machlok Hashamay and Hillel. Right? There's a gzeir. You're not allowed to use animals on Shabbos. That's a gzeir d'rabbanan. So the question is, do you do smicha on the animal when you do when you bring a carpet on yontif? So Hillel Omer lismoch, yes. But Shammai Amar Shlo lismoch. So you see, there's another machlokas between Shammai and Hillel. So what do you mean? There's only three. There's a fourth. Says the Gemara, no. Kikama Rav Huna, when Rav Huna said there were only three, Hecha Delega Plukta Duravasa Bahadayo. That only means if it's purely a machlokas between Shammai and Hillel. The machlokas is about smicha. Mishnah's quote that there were five generations before Shammai and Hillel, a couple of generations after Shammai and Hillel. It wasn't a uniquely Shammai and Hillel machlokas. So that's not called a machlokas Shammai and Hillel. That was all the other rabbis throughout the generations also had the same machlokas. So that was not included. Says the Gemara, there's another one though. V'ha'ika Habotzer Lagas. Shammai Omer Hochshar VeHillel Omer Lo Hochshar. Again, yeah, just one note of introduction to understand this Tosefta, and that is usually in order for food, for fruits and vegetables to have the ability to become tameh, they have to be what is called hukshar lekabel tuma. Hukshar, they have to become ready to be mekabel tuma. How does an apple become ready to mekabel tuma? When the apple's on the tree, it can't become tameh when it's hanging on the tree. When it is detached from the tree, so then one of the seven halachic liquids, what's called mashke in the Torah, has to go on the fruit, make it wet, and once that happens, so then that fruit is hukshar lekabel tuma, even if it becomes dry afterwards. Then it can become tamei, and if something tamei touches it, then it is tamei. While it's on the tree, if a dead body touches the apple while it's on the tree, it's not tamei, if it's attached. Because mechuber is not going to become tamei. But if it's detached, once it's detached, so then if one of the seven liquids, Yad, Shachat, Dam, that's the mnemonic, Yad, Yayin, Dvash, Shachat, Shin, Shemen, Chalav, Tal, Dam is Dam and Mayim. Yad, Shachat, Dam, those are the seven liquids. So if one of those seven liquids, right, orange juice is not one of the seven liquids, right? So if one of those seven liquids touch the fruits, so then it's Hokshar LeKabel Tuma. But there's one other yisod that one has to know. It's only if the owner of the fruits is happy that the liquid touched the fruit. If he's not happy about it, so then that doesn't count as hukshar lekabel tuma. That's called lerotzo. It has to be lerotzo. So the question is, there are a lot of cases where it's difficult to determine whether it is lerotzo or not lerotzo. We had this on Shabbos, right? I remember not teaching this, but okay, it was on Shabbos. So says this Brisa, Habosel Agas. Let's say you're gathering your grapes. You're gathering grapes. And as you gather grapes, some grape juice oozes out of some grapes and goes onto the grapes. So does that make the grapes Hokshar LeKabel Tuma? So this is a machlokas that's going to be discussed on Daf Yud Zayin, just to allude to it now a little bit. Says Shammai, Shammai Omer Hokshar. Shammai says, no, Hokshar, you are happy about it. V'Hillel Omer Lo Hokshar. Hillel says, no, you're not happy about it because you're losing this wine. It's going to go fall through the basket. It's going to go to the floor. Shammai says it is because maybe what about a case where it doesn't go through, where you have a hole, a bottom of a basket where it doesn't go through. Whatever the reasons are, it's a machlokas here that if you're gathering grapes lagat to use for your wine press, so then there's a machlokas between Shammai and Hillel whether that's called hukshar or not. So we see there's another machlokas. What do you mean there's only three? So Gemara again says, Barmine. No, not that one. Tiahida Hasam Kashasak Lehillel Shammai. Because that one, an hour later, Hillel said, you're right. It wasn't even the next day. We learned before that the next day, Hillel and Shammai, that was about Beis Hillel agreeing to Beis Shammai. But by the other three, of Shammai and Hillel, there was a machlokas, period. And it lasted for a while. But here, Hillel agreed later on that day with Shammai, so that's not called a machlokas. Fine. First paragraph, Pirkei Avos. I don't think, as the Mefarshim say, the question was, I have to repeat the question, that's what people have told me, the question was, what about the first paragraph, Pirkei Avos? I don't think those are called machloksim. The Mefarshim explained that those are just things that the Tanoim there were wont to say. They said it a lot, but it's not that they argued with each other. Like, I think everybody would agree, I say Taras Kalkeva is a nice idea. I think everybody would agree with all those concepts. Just what did people used to say? What was their motto? There was a machlokas what?
Preceding that generation.
No, I don't think so. That's the Gant case. I don't think there was any machlokas preceding them. The reason it was left off the list was because it's not really considered a machlokas, because Hillel agreed with Shammai. Shasik le Hillel Shammai, therefore it's not called a machlokas. That's why it's left off the list.
So what's the Havamina?
The Havamina was that it was a machlokas at one point in time.
This
was not a machlokas by other rabbis. That's why it should have been on the list. Correct. It was if it was uniquely Shammai Hillel Machlokas, then it was on the list. Okay, two dots. Yosi ben Yuezer mistreated the Yosef ben Yochanan Yerushalayim goes with two malachs. I'm about Klais Chukas. What we had yesterday, that these two rabbis were gozer tuma on Eretz Ha'amim, on land outside of Eretz Yisrael, and on glass. Tomorrow's daf Bez Hashem is all about glass. What is the status does glass have? So that's why we're gonna be stopping before we start that sugi. That's tomorrow. But today we're gonna be talking about the first half, Eretz Ha'amim. What do you mean? So Gemara asks, what do you mean? Yosi ben Yuezer and Yosi ben Yochanan made the gzeira on Eretz Ha'amim? We know it was made later. What do you mean? The Rabbanan who lived 80 years before the Churban HaBayis made this Gzeira. Not these two Yosis who lived earlier. The Amar of Kahana, after all, of Kahana said, the Shkhalar of Yishmael Bar Yosi. When Yishmael Bar Yosi got sick, Shokhali Rebbe, they sent to him, Amar Lanu Beis V'Gimel Dvarim Shamar Tu B'Shem Avicha, tell us two or three things that you've said from your father. Shokh Lahem, he said to them, Kacham Rabam, my father told me the following historical note. Kuf Peshana Achal Charf Habayis, 180 years before the Churban Habayis, Pashta Malchus Harish Al Yisrael. That's when the Roman power authority started affecting the Jewish people. 180 years before the Churban. Peshana Achal Charf Habayis, 80 years before the Churban Habayis, Gazru Tumal Eretz Ha'amim Valklei Shluchis. That's an important line for us. 80 years before the Churban, that's when the Chachamim made these gzeiros about Tumah on Eretz Ha'amim and on Klei Shluchis. Interesting, you know, why did they make these gzeiros? I don't know if the Gemara talks about this. You know, why Dafka 80 years beforehand they made such gzeiros? You know, they knew that the Gaulus was going to happen. They didn't want people to go to Eretz Yisrael. Or they wanted people to go to Eretz Amim. Or they wanted to make sure when people go to Gaulus, they realize they're Tamei, that they're leaving Eretz Yisrael. They wanted to emphasize that point. Either way, it says 80 years before. Memshon, Nachal Achar Abayis, 40 years before the Churban Abayis, Gaulus La Sanhedrin, V'yashol Lebachanuyos. The Sanhedrin left the Lishkas Hagazis, the place where they were in the base of Mikdash, and they went to a place called Chanuyos, it's called Chanus in other places, another area on Har Abayis. They left the Lishkas Hagazis, we'll see why. L'may Hilchasa, why they switch places? They moved 40 feet. L'may Hilchasa, Amir V'yisla Barav Dimi, L'may Shlo, Donu Dine Knossos. So that they wouldn't have the authority to judge Dine Knossos. The Gemara says, Dine Knossos, Agadayat, what do you mean? They can. The Knossos, they could judge, even if they're not in the Lishkas Hagazis, if they're not in the place in the Beis HaMikdash where they were supposed to sit. Ela Emesh Lo Donu Dine Nefashos. They didn't want to judge Dine Nefashos. They didn't want to be in the position of judging Dine Nefashos for various reasons. The Gemara in Makkos talks about it. There were too many. It wasn't being effective. They didn't want to be in the Lishkas Hagazis, which then would make them Mechuyev to judge Dine Nefashos. So once they left the Lishkas Hagazis, they left and they went into this other place on the Har Abayis, then they wouldn't have the authority to judge Dine Nefashos. So anyway, we'll get back to that line in a minute, but let's just first finish the question of the Gemara. So the Gemara brought this whole statement that says that 80 years before the Churban was this Gzeira on Eretz Ha'amim. Tumah v'Eretz Ha'amim. So the Gemara says, V'chitem b'peishon anami inuhavi. Maybe there's no machlokes. Maybe those two Yosis lived 80 years before the Churban. Perfect. Right? And everything works out. The Gemara says that can't work. V'hatanya hilo v'shimon gamliel v'shimon nahagun siyusan b'fnei abayis me'ashana. These Tanoim lived 100 years before the Churban. V'ilu Yosef and Yuezer straight v'yosef v'yokanan havikad mituba. We know that they were much before these Tanoim. So we have a kasha. We have two statements. One says that Yosi ben Yoaz and Yosi Estrade, that they made the Gzeira of Tumah on lands outside of Israel. And we have another Brisa that says that the rabbis that lived 80 years before the Churban made it. Those are two times in history. So who made this Gzeira? Let's finish first. Ela Asu Inu Gazer Agusha Lisro V'Yavir V'lo Klum. But as we said yesterday, there were two stages. Just like we said by the Yadayim, there were two stages of the Gzeira. So too here. Really, the earlier ones, the Yosis, came and made the Gzeira Agusha on the earth of Eretz Ha'amim Litzroth. The earth, they gave the earth a Vadai Tumah Midrabanan, meaning if you touch the dirt of Eretz Ha'amim, so you are, if Truma touches the dirt of Eretz Ha'amim, you have to burn that Truma. V'yavir v'lo klum, but the airspace of Eretz Ha'amim, let's say I stuck Truma into the airspace, and I didn't, it didn't touch the floor. Or let's say I jump out of a box, and I jump in the box to Eretz Ha'amim, and I jump back. So in the airspace, they didn't touch. They didn't say there's any tumah on the airspace. V'asu rabbanan d'peishana, and the later rabbis came, gazer avir litzlos. They made a gzera on the airspace to at least require to make a suffix tumah on the airspace. So there were two stages. That answers the stira. Stage one, the dirt is vade tame, the air is nothing. Second stage, they didn't do anything about the dirt. They just made the airspace suffix tame. Let's continue for a minute. L'meimra, the chadak zera sahavi l'sreifa. Is this to tell me that the original takana was to be gozer vaday tuma on the dirt? That can't be. V'amar Ilfa, the line we had yesterday, Yadayim, Tchilas Gzeiras and L'Sreifa. Ilfa says, the Gzeira of Yadayim started out as a Vaday Tumah, L'Sreifa, to burn. So it says, and we're Medayik from Ilfa's statement, Yadayim Hu Tchilas Gzeiras and L'Sreifa. Only in the Gzeira of Yadayim did they start out so hardcore, so strong, that Yadayim have a Vaday Tumah. Hamidi Achrina Lo, but everything else must have started out softer. Start out with a Safek Tumah. And then the next stage could be a Vaday Tumah. So you can't say that stage one was Vaday Tumah on the dirt. So says the Gemara, okay, you're right. Restated. Ela also inu gazara usha litzlos. Va'abir v'lo klum. Stage one, the Yosis, they made the Gzeira on dirt, Safek Tumah, and on airspace, nothing. V'yasu Rabbanan depeishana gazur agusha litzrof yavir litzlos. And then the Rabbanan came, the Rabbanan who lived 80 years before the Korban came, and they made a Gzeira on the dirt, Vaday. They changed dirt from Safek to Vaday, and on the Avira, on the airspace, litzlos. So those were the two stages of the Gzeira. It's different than Tumas Oel. Airspace just means, Oel means you have to have something above you. You have to be under this. There are different Tumas Oels. But either that means you're under the same Ohel as a Tumah, or you are the Ohel over Tumah, or the Tumah is an Ohel over you. But here it just means airspace. You stick the Truma into the airspace of Eretz Ha'amim, that would make it Tame. Okay. Before we do the next line, just go back for a minute to the bottom Tosfos on Tesvav and Aleph. Tosfos, the Gemara says that once the Sanhedrin HaGadol is outside of the Lishkas HaGazis, once they left the spot in the Beis HaMikdash, they can't just dig in the fashas anymore. Tosfos asks the question and he does not answer it. Tosfos says, that pasuk that, and he quotes it from Sanhedrin, the pasuk that says that once the Sanhedrin is not in the Beis HaMikdash, they can't just dig in the fashas, that pasuk is specifically by Zakin Mamre. What's a Zakin Mamre? It's a member of the Sanhedrin HaGadol who was outvoted 70-1 or whatever it is. He was outvoted by the Sanhedrin HaGadol, and he sticks to his guns and he goes back to his own city and he tells everybody to follow his psak, even though he was outvoted by the Sanhedrin HaGadol. The halacha is that he's chayiv misa. That's the halacha. Zakin Mamre, the rebellious Zakin. He's a Talmud Chacham. He believes in what he believes in. But if somebody's outvoted by all the rabbis of the generation, can't go paskin your way. You know, you're outvoted. That's the halacha of Zakin Mamre. So the Gemara says the Zakin Mamre has to rebel against the Sanhedrin when they're sitting in the Lishkas HaGazis. So ask Tosfos, how does that teach me that all Dinin Nefashis are limited to the Lishkas HaGazis? Tosfos says, Tema? No answer. He leaves it, doesn't answer it. That source is specifically by Zakin Mamre. So you can't. He has to rebel when the Sanhedrin is in the Beis HaMikdash. So it's a difficult. Tosfos doesn't answer it. So the Maritz Chayas here says, Yismach Libi, I'm so happy I found a medrash that the Rambam quotes in the Shurashim, the beginning of Sefer HaMitzvot. So halavai, we should all be so happy about finding a medrash. He finds a medrash that has a limud, that has a drasha, that has a makar, that you don't judge din nefashos when it's outside of the Beis HaMikdash. But he finds a makar. But is there a svara? Is there, you know, can you say something? So Yismach Libi, me, that Rav Yosef Engel, I mean, he's amazing. Rav Yosef Engel quotes a Gur Aryeh that he says, no, the point is that V'tayma de Milsa, he says, he doesn't give a makar, but he thinks it's a svara. Says the Gur Aryeh, and again, I don't know where this Gur Aryeh is. I mean, I don't know, is there a Gur Aryeh al Hashas? I mean, the Gur Aryeh is al Torah, the Maharal, but I don't know where this Gur Aryeh is from. His Pirush al Hashas is the Chidushi Agados. I don't know what other sefer the Maharal has on al Hashas. But if it's that Gur Aryeh, but it might be somebody else. V'tayma de Milsa, the Kivan Shalom Hayu Yechom Ladin Din Echad Midin Nefashis. Dozakin Mamre, Lakacha Yubatelin Kol Din Nefashis. Dein Svara Klaus Yudonin Mixas Din Nefashis. Says Rav Yosef Engel, quoting the Gur Aryeh, the point is that once Beis Din's authority is limited in the world of Dini Nefashis, so that's a siman, that's a reflection that their authority is limited, and therefore all Dini Nefashis. It's a package deal. Sukkot Mamre isn't in its own entity, but once you learn from a pasuk that part of their Dini Nefashis is affected, so then it must be that all their Dini Nefashis is affected. But that's it, and it's mistaver. You know, what do you mean? You can't judge this case, but in that case, fine, you can be mechalik between types of cases. Knossos, nefashos, mamonis. But once you have a part of dini nefashos that you can't judge, so then says the Gur Aryeh, that means it's all affected. And then he quotes, and this is the bekiyas of Rav Yosef Engel, and this is exactly like the Mishnah L'Melech in Hilchos Maaseh HaKarbanos. Oh, Baruch Hashem. Okay, we know that. What is the Mishnah Lachanech Maisa Karbanos? The Mishnah Lachanech Maisa Karbanos, the end of Perak Yigimel, quotes a Yerushalmi. The halacha is, right, we know there's something called kemitza, that how much, right, a Kohen, when he takes the flour and he puts it between these fingers and he rubs off the side, and then he burns that amount of flour on the base on the Mizbeach. So the Rambam says, you can't have a kemitza less than two kezesim. Less than two zesim. That's what the Rambam says. So the Mishnah Malach there quotes a Yerushalmi that says, Kohen she'en yadu machzekes kishnei zesim pasul min ha'avoda. Let's say you have a Kohen who has a tiny hand. And his kemitza doesn't hold two zesim. So the Yerushalmi says, pasul min ha'avoda. So the Mishnah Malach says, why doesn't the Yerushalmi say pasul min ha'kemitza? Why can't he bring a carbon up to a different carbon? Why can't he carry an animal up? Why can't he do other? So the Mishnah Malach says, it must be nireh de pasul b'chol ha'avodos. Once the Kohen can't do one avoda, so it must be that he can't do all the avodas, because it's a package deal. Says the Gunei Shas, oh, that's like this. Once the Sanhedrin can't do mixas din nefashas, they can't do the Zaken Mamre, so then they can't do anything. I'm the guy they find this Mishnah Lamelech out of left field, like this Gemara, this Tosfos, that's what he connects it to. Okay. Biter. Eighth one on Amid Beis. Says, so now what are we up to? So we have two levels of the Gzeira of Eretz Ha'amim. The first level was on the land Safek, and on the air nothing. Second level, on the land Vadai, on the air Safek. So Gemara again says, Va'akati b'Usha Gazar. But what do you mean? There's a third stage in history. Usha, which is a later stage in history, when the Chachamim went to Usha. A lot of times in Shas it says, B'Usha Hiskinu. They made Takanis in Usha. And the in Ksuba, the middle of Ksuba, it's about Daf Nun or so, it has a whole list of Takanis of Usha. So the so here it says that in Usha they made the Gzeira of Eretz Ha'amim. Ditzana, that says the Mishnah in Taros, Alvav Sveiko suffered as a Truma, on six Safek cases, even though it's a Safek, you're still going to burn Truma that becomes Tameh, you have to burn. So on six Safek cases, you're still going to burn Truma. Excuse me. Al Safek Beis HaPras, number one, on a Safek Beis HaPras. What's a Beis HaPras? There are different kinds of Beis HaPrases. Here's a Machlokas Rashi Tosfos, which one it's referring to. Rashi says a Beis HaPras is, you know, a field that had a kever, a field that had a grave in it, but you just don't know where that grave is. It was Nevad. Right, the marker's not there anymore. You know this was a cemetery. You know there's a grave somewhere in your backyard. You don't know where it is. And Truma went into your backyard. You just don't know if the Truma went over the grave or not. So Rashi says that's the Safek. So if you know Vadai that the Truma went over the grave, you just don't know where the grave is, then you have to burn the Truma. Tosfos says all these in the Mishnah are going to be Durabanans. That's a Safek d'Oraisa. So that can't be the case here. Tosfos says it's a Sadeh Shenechrash Bakever. You know there was a grave in your backyard, and you know that the backyard was plowed over. So the grave, the body is not intact. So there wouldn't be an amount of a mace that would be able to be Matami, the person Midar Raisa. So, but if it's spread out over a certain area, it's a Tumah Midar Rabbanan. So that's the case. But you know the Truma Vade went into the field, so then that's the case that it's talking about. If Truma Vade did that, then you have to burn the Truma. V'yasafik afar habam eretz ha'amim, or Truma went over dirt, but you don't know if that dirt is eretz ha'amim or from Eretz Yisrael. V'yal safik big de'am ha'aretz. Number three, safik big de'am ha'aretz. The begadim of an am ha'aretz are considered tame because you don't know if the am ha'aretz wives, who happen to be a nida, sat on it, and now the begadim are tame, according to Rashi. So that's also, if you know for sure that the truma touched it, but you don't know if these begadim are tame, v'yal safik kelim ha'nimsayim, or on safik, you have a safik about kelim that are found. And again, you don't know if these kelim are tame or not. The Asafik Harokin, or you find saliva. The saliva in the street that you find, then you don't know if it's saliva of a Zav, which is an Av HaTumah. We spoke about that yesterday, that any liquid that comes out of a Zav is an Av HaTumah, or it's tar. The Asafik Meiragle Adam, chicken egg and Meiragle Behema, or you find some Meiraglayim, some urine of human Meiraglayim, next to animal Meiraglayim. Machlokas Rashi Tosfos, why that fact is important. If we have time, we'll mention it. If not, you can look it up. Either way, on all these cases, al vade maga'an, shehu safik tumas, and surfen as a truma. On all these cases, if you know for sure that truma touched these things, you just don't know if these things are tamei, so then you burn the truma. That's the halacha. On these six things, surfen as a truma. Reb Yossi Omer, afal safik maga'an, versus a yachad surfen. Reb Yossi says, even on, only even if it's only a suffix, if the truma touched it, if it's in a rishus hayachid, you burn. That's based on the principle that we've had in the past: suffix tuma rishus hayachid. If you have a suffix tuma in rishus hayachid, the halacha is that's tame. The Chachamim Omer in Birshas Yachid Tolin, Birshas Rabim Tahorim. The Chachamim say no, if it's a Safek, it depends if it's in Birshas Yachid or Birshas Rabim, but it's for sure not going to be Tameh. In any case, one of these cases in the Mishnah that we just quoted is the Tumah of Eretz Ha'amim. And V'amar Ula Eluvav Sfekas B'Ushas Kinu. Question mark. Right, these are all from Usha. So what do you see? That Usha was the source of the Tum of the Eretz Ha'amim. So how could we say it was the earlier rabbis, Yossi and the 80 years before the Churban? So that's why we brought all this case, because we're back to the question. So the Gemara answers, really there were three stages, like we said yesterday. Ela Asu Inhu, Gazer, Agusha, Litzlos, Avir, Velo, Klum. Stage one, the two Yossis, Yossi Ben Yezer, said that on the dirt of Eretz Ha'amim, it's a suffix tuma on the airspace, nothing. The Yasser Rabban and Dishmonim Shana, second stage, the Rabban 80 years before the Churban, Gozer Idiv Idi Litzlos. They said, no, even the airspace has a suffix tuma. So that was stage two, that the earth has suffix and the airspace have a suffix. Basu Ba'usha and Usha, what does it say in the Mishnah? That you vade burn truma. So what do they come? Gozer Agusha Lisrof. They said the gush, no, that turned into a vadai tuma, the avira kidakoi koi. And they didn't touch the airspace, they left that as is. So just like we ended up yesterday, Shir, three stages for the takana of Yadayim, so to today we end up three stages for the takana of the gush. Okay, so that is a discussion of that. Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow, as I said, tomorrow the whole first daf, the whole first blot and a half, is all about the status of glass. We'll try to discuss glass in general. What about Tfilas Kalim? What about other things regarding glass? Again, today's shiur was L'Zeichah Nishmas Yitzchak ben Shlomo Yehuda, and also the yard site today of Sima Rachel Bas Harab Tzvi Aryeh. Amen.